day to read and read this poem. Father, Father, I swear to God, one day to read.
It's a blessing to have the Spirit within us as God's children and have that access to God where we can not only pray but worship Him and hear from Him through His Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we just, again, prepare our hearts to continue to worship Him as we study His Word. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. It is powerful and living. It knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts, Lord. It makes us complete, prepared for every good work. Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would have reign in us this morning. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to understand. Soften our hearts to be receptive, Lord. Help us to be willing to make changes in our lives, Lord. Help us to respond to You in obedience, Lord. Have Your way in us this morning as we study Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at faith here for the last couple weeks. We're going to continue through Hebrews chapter 11. Last week we looked at the life of faith that Abraham lived. Abraham had faith in God's Word, and we learned that he waited on God even when he didn't know where. He didn't know how things were going to work out. He didn't know when exactly it was going to happen. He didn't know why things were happening. He entrusted his life. He entrusted his future, the future of his family, to God. And he had faith in what God had said. And this week we're going to look at some of the benefits that we enjoy through our faith in God and His Word. First, we're going to look at how faith in God and His Word helps you look to your future reward. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews 11, we're going to start out at verses 20 there. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you. I think it's good for us to read through the Word together. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. Now, as we look at these generations of faith, we looked at Abraham last week, and now we see the same faith in Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. These men were not perfect by any means, but they were devoted to God and they trusted His Word. Their faith in God helped them look forward to a future reward. Look there in verse 20. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Isaac believed God's Word. Genesis 26 tells us that during a famine while in the land of Gerar, God spoke to Isaac. And He reminded Isaac of the promise He had made Abraham, that through him, through his offspring, He would give them the promised land, that they would be a great nation, and through this nation they would be a blessing to all the nations of the world. The Messiah would come through them. And Isaac believed God. He understood that he and his sons played a part in the promise that God had given them. And so he blessed his boys in faith that promise would surely be fulfilled, that God would come through on His promise and give them the promised land. And his faith led him to action. And of course, we know that God always is faithful to His promises. Of course, He kept His promise, and He did give the nation of Israel their promised land. Then in verse 21, it says, by faith Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. God also told Jacob in Genesis 35, 10 through 12, that the same land He promised to Abraham and Isaac, He would give to him and his descendants. And Jacob had faith in God's Word, and before he died, he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, two sons of Joseph. Just as his father Isaac did, he looked beyond his own death to the reward that God had promised his people. Even as he leaned on his staff, and which meant that he lived in the land of Egypt as a sojourner. He's waiting on the promised land, waiting on God to keep His promise. And he believed in the promises of God to give His people this promised land, and in faith he acted on what God had said he would do. Verse 22, by faith Joseph at the end of his life made mention of the exodus of Israel and gave directions concerning his bone. The faith of Joseph is quite extraordinary. I love the story of his life. If anyone should have lost faith or hope, it should have been Joseph. Yes, he was, as a boy, he was loved by his father. But yet he was sold into slavery by his brothers, mistreated and wrongly accused as a slave, thrown into prison. 13 years of this hard life, and Joseph continued to have faith in God and his word. God rewarded his faith. He raised him up at the right time to save his people from starvation. Joseph looked at his circumstances, and we can see this in his life, from a godly perspective. He told his brothers even at the end, in Genesis 50, verse 20, he says, "As for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." See, Joseph knew that God was at work in every circumstance, every trial, every test. He knew that God's will would be done, and God was trustworthy. Therefore, he could trust the Lord. He continued in faith. We see his enduring faith in this verse at the end of Joseph's life. He also had faith in God's promises. Therefore, he knew God would deliver them from Egypt one day. God would lead them out of Egypt to the promised land. He made this promise to Abraham and his people, and Joseph had faith in that. He knew this. He entrusted his life to God, and he knew this, that God was building up a people for himself, that God was going to lead them out. And therefore, what does he tell them? He says, "When this happens, take my bones with you." Not if this happens, when this happens. In all three of these incidents, these men look beyond their own deaths to the reward that God had promised them. Faith in God and his word helps us look beyond our own lives to the future reward that God has promised us. You know, and these men faced problems. They all did. They faced problems of life. Some of them were brought on because we live in a world that has been destroyed by sin. It is broken, corrupted. Some of them were the consequences of their own sin. Some of the problems they faced were a result of God's testing in their lives. But through it all, they were devoted to God, and they had faith in his word, and they looked to this future reward. Through all of life's issues, because just like these men, we too face the problems of life. Every one of us. And through all of life's issues, do you lose faith or do you trust in God and his word? Do you have faith in the future that God has promised you? We as children of God have a wonderful hope and of the future. We will be in the presence of God forever. But we sometimes get so consumed with the here and now, we focus on the trials, we focus on the struggles at hand, and we lose sight of our glorious future in heaven. When we have faith in the promise of heaven, it gives us a better perspective on life. In light of all these things that we're going through, in light of the promise that God has given us, these things don't compare. Paul said this in Romans 8:18. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." Faith in God and his promise helps us look beyond our own life here on earth. It helps us keep our focus on the main thing and not be overwhelmed by the temporary trials that we face right now. Now, Satan wants us to turn our focus away from what God has already given us. He's already promised us. Heaven is ours. He wants us to turn our focus away from that. He wants us to wallow in the mire of this broken world. But we live by faith. We live with joy and hope of a greater future. Second, we see that faith in God and his word helps us overcome fear. Look there at verses 23 through 28. Well, we'll start out with verse 23, actually. So in this section, God's people were living in times of opposition, affliction, great affliction. They were in slavery, but they had faith to overcome their fears and fulfill what God had planned for their lives. Look there at verse 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and that they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, in that day, the king of Egypt saw that the Israelites were multiplying. They were becoming a great people, a great nation, just as God said they would. Now, in fear, he ordered that all the Hebrew male children who were born, they were to be killed." What an atrocity to kill helpless babies. Now, Moses' parents had faith not to kill Moses. It says that they were not afraid of the king's ruling. It was their faith in God and his word that helped them overcome their fear of losing their lives, fear of losing their son. They had faith that God could save their child, that God had a plan for him. They had faith in God's promises. And so for them to hide Moses from the authorities was a great act of faith. They could have been killed. Moses should have been killed with all the other babies, but by their faith he was not. And through their faith, God orchestrated His plan for Moses' life and His people. Now Moses was very fortunate to have believing parents with faith like this. What an example for him to follow. You know, as godly parents, we cannot pass on our faith to our children as we pass on our family traits. But we can certainly create an atmosphere of faith at home. We can be examples of faith to our children. More than anything else, the example of life you live is what your children will see and follow after. We know that. And we need to remember that. You can tell them that they should love God. You can tell them what's right and wrong. You can teach them stories from the Bible. But if you don't live a Christ-like lifestyle before your children, then good luck trying to get them to be something that you're not. A home should be the first school of faith for your child. They should not only learn about the one true God from you and how to follow Him, but they should see you act in faith over and over and over through hard times, through trials, through your fears. They should hear you proclaim God's promises and pray God's will and see the answers to faithful prayer. Just as we look at the examples that we're looking at right now for us in examples of faith, your children are looking to you. They're looking to you. What does it look like to have faith in God? What does it look like to act on that faith, to live that faith out? This includes grandparents as well. We as grandparents have a great opportunity to live out our Christ-like life or example before our grandchildren, to speak truth into their lives. So we see a great example of faith in Moses' parents. But what about Moses' faith? Look there at verses 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. We see that Moses' faith in God's promises of a future reward helped him obey God's word, helped him step out in faith. Being the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, he could have lived a life of ease, living in the palace, living a life of abundance. But his faith in God moved him to deny that lifestyle and choose to be associated with his own people. Therefore, he chose to suffer with them, to be persecuted with them, instead of having all the material possessions that he would in Egypt. True faith causes a believer to hold to right values and make right decisions based on God's word. Meaning we base our lives and all we do on God's word, and we obey Him no matter what. The phrase pleasures of sin does not just refer to lust and terrible sins. This phrase describes the way of life he could have lived. A way of life that many people today would call successful. High position, prestige, power, wealth, freedom from problems, a life of ease. That's the life he would have lived in the palace. But he chose to follow God instead because he had faith in Him. He had faith in His promises. He had faith that even though he was stepping out of that, even though he was going to be mistreated, he was not willing to compromise his beliefs and become and be the prince of Egypt. His faith helped him to overcome his fear of rejection, his fear of persecution and opposition. How many times do we compromise our beliefs, our values, because we fear what others might think about us or the world might think about us? Or maybe we see what they're offering, just as Moses was offered this life of material possessions and all these things he would have had in the palace, and we think, well, it kind of looks better. Maybe we stop believing in God's promises and we lose faith because we think we see an easier way. We might think that God's way is too hard or difficult. Or maybe it's because we want things our own way. And because God isn't doing things our way, we choose the way of the world. And maybe it doesn't seem that God is answering your prayers because your prayers maybe are focused on yourself and they don't line up with God's will or what is best for you. And so you lose faith in God and His Word, and you choose your own way. We must know God's Word. We must believe it. We must be confident in what God has said. What if Moses would have said, you know, well, I think it's better for me to stay here in the palace. I mean, this seems so much easier. It's a much easier life. There's more abundance here. I have whatever I want here. And this because of that, this must be God's plan for me. This has to be God's will. It just seems best for me. It's so much easier. It's I love it. It's what I want. It's what my flesh desires. It must be the plan of God. But his faith led him to overcome his fear and persecution and obey God. By faith he left Egypt, it says in verse 27, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He not only had faith to leave the palace and face hardship with his people, he left Egypt. He left Egypt in faith that God would take care of him. It says he was not afraid. It says that he endured because he was focused. His focus was on God, seeing him who is invisible. His faith in God helped him overcome his fear and obey his word. He found a home in Midian. He became a shepherd, lived there for 40 years while God was preparing him for the works he had for him. By faith, Moses obeyed God. He went back to Egypt to see his people freed from bondage. Look at verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover, sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. After 9 plagues, still no freedom. Still no freedom. God tells Moses that he's going to kill the firstborn of all in Egypt. See, throughout this long list of plagues, the people of God had grown weary. Some doubted the leadership of Moses. With every plague, they had to overcome their own fears and have faith in God that he would protect them. These were no ordinary plagues. These were extraordinary miracles and signs right before their eyes. And they had to overcome their own fears and have faith that God would protect them and free them. Now with this last plague, God was sending the destroyer, otherwise known as the death angel. Can you imagine the fear they might have had? How in the world could painting around our doors with the blood of a lamb protect us from this? It was faith in God's word that helped them obey and do what God said. And because of it, they overcame their fear and they were saved by the blood of the lamb. Similar to the fear that people have of death today. Death is coming for all of us. But we will all live for eternity. Every one of us. In one of two places. If you have faith in God's word, meaning you believed in Christ, you believe that he came to the earth, he died on the cross, taking all of your sin on himself, and he died in your place, and he was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. If you believe that, and you confess him as Lord, meaning you surrender your life to him. You turn from your old life, doing it your way, and you turn to God and you had faith in him. You entrusted your life to him. Now, he's Lord of your life. If that is the case, then you have been saved by the blood of God's Lamb, Jesus. The payment of his perfect, sinless blood has wiped away your record of sin, and you stand righteous before our holy God. Amen? The payment of your sin has been paid. But if you chose, or you are choosing right now, your own way, and you choose to reject God's way, you will face the second death. You will live forever in a place that was created for Satan and his demons, a place we call hell. What fears do you have? What is in your mind today that brings fear into your life? Fear's a liar. You've all heard that song on the radio? Fear's a liar. Many of our fears are lies from Satan and the world and our flesh. Many of the things we fear are not based on the truth of God's word. And many times our fears will drive us to disobey God's word, to live a life full of compromise, to do things our own way. How is this possible? Well, for example, the fear of persecution and ridicule might keep us from sharing the gospel. The fear that your prayer for someone might not come true, and so you stop praying because you lack faith in God's Word. Fear that you might lose a friend because you don't walk in sin as they do, and so you join in instead because it seems easier. Faith in God's Word helps you overcome fear. Moses stepped out in faith knowing the consequences of his decision, knowing that it might bring more pain and suffering into his life, but he was willing to obey because he had faith in God and His Word. He knew God's plan was best for him. So he kept his focus on God. But after 9 plagues, no freedom, Moses and the people could have doubted God. They could have said, you know what? It's just not possible. This is never going to happen. This isn't good for us. We'll never be free. Without faith in God and His Word, there would have been no freedom for these people. Before we get to this next point, I want to share a story with you. Sometimes we think that if things work out just right, and I feel really good about it, then that must be God's will for me. It's so much easier to have faith when we're on the mountaintop or when we get what we want. 10 years we spent on the field. God allowed us to be missionaries for 10 years. But 2 months after we went to the field, one morning, we were shocked by the sounds. The house was shaking. We looked out the window. There were explosions where fire and smoke rose up through the sky. Helicopters were flying over, shooting guns. People, there's gunfire all around us. The kids are under the bed. What do you think went through our minds? What in the world are we doing here? You must have it wrong, Lord. I had faith to come, but I don't know about this. I don't think this is good for my children. This doesn't seem like the best place to be right now. God strengthened us through that time. And in faith, we stayed. 5 years later, or 2.5 years later, the war was over. The place became a different place. The war finished after 27 years. 5 years into it, God raised up faithful men who were passionate about the kingdom of God. And after 10 years, we saw God save over 15,000 people. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes where God has us doesn't feel like the safest place. It didn't feel like that sometimes when they were in Egypt. And we see that all throughout the Bible. That's where faith comes in. Which brings us to this last point. Faith in God and His Word helps us believe that God can do the impossible. Look at verse 29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Moses had faith in God and His Word and helped him and the people to look to their future reward and the promised land. They were looking toward that. They knew that God would be faithful and help them overcome their fears. And now we see that it's going to help them have faith that God and believe that God can do the impossible. After 400 years, God had just freed them from Egypt. He did the impossible. He revealed the impossible mighty works right before their eyes, and He was faithful to give them freedom. Now by faith in God's promise, Moses and the people followed God's leading and God led them to the Red Sea. Remember, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. Having faith in God and following Him, He led Moses to this place. In this place, here before him was a huge body of water. Behind him was Pharaoh and his army. The people around him. This is what they were saying to Moses. What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? We're the land of graves in Egypt. We are going to die here. I mean, look at the situation. There's the Red Sea before us. Here comes Pharaoh. He's definitely going to kill us now. What have you done, Moses? The people quickly lost faith. Again, Moses is faced with this situation where whether he will choose to have faith in God to deliver them by doing the impossible or just giving up and trying to find another way, coming up with some other way. This happens to all of us as well. Every time we're faced with what seems to be impossible, will we choose to have faith in God's word, or will we try to resolve the issue in our own strength or in our own way? Or maybe what comes natural, we just complain about it. We become pessimistic and bitter, and we focus on what we think is an impossible situation. What did Moses do? What does Moses do here? Moses wasn't focused on the trial. He didn't listen to those around him. He told the people in Exodus 14, 13 and 14, listen to what he says. He says, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. The Lord will fight for you." Moses listened to God's word and obeyed Him. I have to wonder what he thought when God told him to stretch out his hand, his staff, over the sea in order to split the sea. But that's exactly what Moses did. He stretched out his staff over the sea and it split in two. Not only did it split in two, but they walked across the bottom of the sea on dry land through the Red Sea. God fulfilled His promise as always, led them to freedom, and right there He destroyed their enemies. Just like that. You see, when we trust God, we receive what God can do. When we trust ourselves, we only receive what weak, powerless people can do. The example of Moses is proof that true biblical faith means obeying God in spite of circumstances, in spite of consequences that may come. Faith leads us to action on what we believe about God and what we believe about what He says in His Word. Meaning against all odds, Moses trusted in God's Word. Instead of listening to others around him, he listened to God. He obeyed. He had faith in what God can do rather than having faith in what he could do. Faith in God and His Word helps us believe that God can do the impossible. We actually believe. We have faith in what God says He will do for us. Moses listened to God. He listened to His Word. He knew His Word. How do we listen to His Word today? Right here. Right here through the Bible. It's God's Word to us without error. God has given us the whole redemptive story from beginning to end. In the future, we know what's going to happen, and He speaks to us through His Word. Do you know what God says about you? About His children. You're His child. Do you know His promises? Do you truly believe God's Word? Listen to what He says. He says things like this. "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in Him," listen to this, "were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, the praise of His glory." See, forgiveness of sin seems impossible. Eternal life in heaven, a new perfect body that sins no more, seems impossible. But God made it possible by His death and resurrection on the cross. His Spirit living in you and empowering you every day is proof of that promise. It is His seal on you that says you are His. Nothing can take you out of His hand. Amen? What wonderful news! It's His guarantee for you that you will be in heaven with Him. What if our focus was on that? How would that change our perspective? He also says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Just let that sink in a second. Created in Christ Jesus, His workmanship, created for good works, which God prepared before you were born, beforehand, that you should walk in them. You see, when God created you, He already had good works and a plan for your life, an abundant life. And He will go through great lengths to get you to walk in those works, those plans, because He knows more about you than you do. He knows what's best for you. We struggle with getting caught up in this world, in our own way, our own desires, our own plans. We want to be the captain of this ship. We don't want to give over control. God knows what's best for you. Listen to what He says. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor entered, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. If you lack faith to follow God and obey His word and His will, how will you ever find out what great things He has for you? Have you ever thought about that? If we lack faith to follow Him, how will we ever find out what great things He has for you? If you remember, the people of Israel did not act in faith right away. They disobeyed the Lord. And they spent 40 years in the desert, and they all died. Think about what God is telling you right here, just in these three verses. This is what He's promised us. God is always faithful. As a believer, you have to know these promises. What God has told you comes to believing that these are true in Christ. That's where faith comes in. If you lack faith, you need to get to know your Heavenly Father better. This means you need to spend more time with Him in His Word. And as you grow in your understanding of His Word, as you believe Him, as you obey Him, God grows your faith more and more. Next we see there Joshua. He leads God's people, and he leads God's people. He has faith in God to lead them to do the impossible. And this, to me, is truly seems impossible. By faith, the walls of Jericho just fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Does that sound strange to you? It sounds strange to me. Joshua and his people were faced with a humanly impossible task. They had no power to overtake the strong city of Jericho. But God promised to deliver Jericho to Joshua. And faith in what God said led them to victory. The people marched around the city for 7 days. Must have looked pretty foolish to the people as they looked over the wall. How foolish are these people when it comes to warfare? What are you doing? I'm sure they mocked them, but they had faith in God's word, and so they persevered, and God did something amazing. They believed God and obeyed His word, and God acted and did what only He could do. Now remember, as I said, the people of Israel did not act in faith the first time. They spent 40 years in the desert being disciplined by the Lord. And they all died. They never got to see the promised land. The reason I mention that twice is because without faith in God and His Word, what will we miss out on? What are we missing out on? Have you ever thought about that? What kind of lives are we giving up because we choose not to have faith in God to lead our lives? We choose to believe and let what we think impossible to rule our lives. This time, God's people had faith in God's word. They crossed. They took the city. They took over all these cities, and God delivered the promised land to them. Even for Rahab the prostitute. This is extraordinary too. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Rahab's confession of faith and obedience saved her life. She heard about God, what He did by helping them cross the Red Sea. There was a reverent fear of God. And this is what she said to the spies in Joshua 2:11. The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. God destroyed the city and everyone in it except her and her family. By her faith, God worked in a powerful way, did the impossible, and saved this woman and her family. In fact, you will find her name and the genealogy of Christ in the first chapter of Matthew. God is in the business of doing the impossible. Faith in God works. God's Word helps us overcome. It helps us look forward to our future reward. It changes our perspective on the life that we live here and now. Faith in God's Word helps us overcome our fears and live in obedience to what God has told us to do instead of what man, Satan, and the world has told us to do. Faith in God and His Word helps us believe that God can do the impossible, that He will do what He has promised even when we don't understand how. As the worship team comes, I want you to take time this morning. I want you to take time to think about the future God has for you. Take time to lay your fears about that future, about your life. Take time to lay your fears before God and evaluate them by His Word. Take this moment to preach to yourself the promises of God that tell you that what is not possible with man is possible with God. Jesus says, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Ask Him to strengthen your faith this morning in Him and His Word. Let's go to the Lord in worship and prayer.